And so then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Might feel a little bit strange to be singing some Christmas songs, but the theme for our Lenten worship this year is From the Star to the Cross. I was approached by Kevin Krieger as he was trying to come up with some ideas for worship themes this year, especially for decorating the church. And he wanted to emphasize this star that was made for us by Steve Denninger and how that still is relevant to us to this day. And that's what I want us to see, is how this Christmas celebration that we come together and so happily celebrate every year cannot be by itself, but must be seen in the grand scheme of the entire story of Christ. When we get together for Christmas, it is such a joyous time, isn't it? Normally in Lent, it's rather depressing. A lot of stories of betrayal, of Christ being beaten. But we like Christmas. Christmas is fun. There's presents, there's all these different parties that we get to go to, there's all this food, it's so wonderful. But also in our readings, we see all of these prophecies for the Christ. All of these prophecies that are saying somebody is coming who is going to save us. Somebody is going to redeem us. Somebody is going to help us. And so there's a lot of joy. And as we see the Christ child born finally, as we celebrate on Christmas, there's so much hope found in this one little baby. This Jesus is the long-expected Messiah, Savior, Son of Man. Since the beginning, people have been expecting his arrival. The one who would be born of a woman who would crush sin and death and restore the relationship between God and people. We see, especially in the prophets, as they experience the pain and suffering of the exile, that harsh punishment that is given by a loving father to his rebellious children. Their desire is to no longer be rebellious. They want to be made new. They want new hearts. And so they are anticipating this Son of Man to be born, to save them, to make them new. But what we find in our reading is that these people are nowhere to be found when he finally arrives. Herod, the king, has no idea where the Christ is to be born. The scribes themselves have to go and look it up. Where is the anticipation? Well, what we see is that creation is celebrating the arrival of this child, as we see a star rising and declaring his birth. And again, what's so depressing is that it's not the people that God has chosen. It's not the Israelites who notice it, but it's the Gentiles. These are people who do not worship God. They do not fear God, but yet they notice something significant and very serious is happening. And so important for them that they travel a great distance to go and meet him, bringing expensive gifts fit for a king. And while we might shake our heads at the people of Israel for not getting it, let us really focus on these magi. These are very significant people. We don't know if there were three. They're not really kings. These are sorcerers. These are guys who practice magic. They're astrologers. They try and divine the signs and the stars. And this very significant thing is happening. And it's amazing that they're the ones who get it. Because for so long, the prophecies that were given were for the people of Israel, that they would be saved, that they would be redeemed. And even those visions that brought in the other nations, they were gathering to Israel. But now Israel is not here. Now what we see is that the world is seeing the benefits of this Christ who was born, this promised one who is being given to the Gentiles here. Because realistically, as Gentiles, we know that the pain and suffering felt from sin is not exclusive to the Jews. All humanity feels it. And so here we have non-Israelites coming forth to bring their adoration to the Christ. But reflecting this Lent on this child who was born, we must remember that this is a child born to die. Isaiah gives us a glimpse in chapter 53 of his book. This is the famous suffering servant chapter. Beginning at verse 2, "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." This suffering servant, as we celebrate at Christmas, is just a baby. This suffering servant is the one who is visited by the Magi. This suffering servant is the one who would take up all sins of all people, bear them on our behalf. He who knew no sin became sin. In this Jesus, we witness his suffering on the behalf of all people. Let me emphasize that he is doing this as a servant for all people. For so long, the Jews thought that they were the only ones who were receiving this redemption. But it is for all people who suffer from the effects of sin. And so Jesus is betrayed, is arrested, is condemned by his own people. He is cursed to die. His own people mock him. And after his final breath, who understands who this suffering servant is but a Roman centurion? Not the people who he was sent for. But that doesn't matter. For Jesus' sacrifice to be successful, he had to be condemned. He had to be forsaken. In his death, in his condemnation, there is redemption. By the blood shed on the cross, we have been purchased back from the hands of sin. And through all of this, we know God. We grow deeper in our faith. We get more connected back to our God because the relationship has been restored. This is the prophesied glory that Isaiah speaks of in our reading from today. The glory of Zion, which he speaks of, is a reality because of the death of Christ. We were in that darkness, and upon us all has that light shined, not just for one nation, but for all nations. And as John wonderfully says, Jesus is that light, and to that light all nations shall gather. We get to see the nations gather together in this. For so long, the center of worship for the Israelites was Jerusalem. In order to do almost anything in their faith, you had to go to Jerusalem. But now, after Christ, everything changes. And we see this all coming together in the early church as this new Christian phenomenon is spreading throughout the Roman world. Paul writes to the Ephesians and tells them of these promises, that they are fellow heirs, that they are given all of these same things that the Jews were promised because of Christ. Paul tells us that of this he has been made a minister, a person who brings this to others. And I tell you today that we have all been made ministers of this gospel. We've kind of reserved that word in English for the guys who wear the collar, right? That I am the minister and you are not. But the reality is that we are all ministers of this gospel, but yet we serve it in different ways. Not all of you are in this pulpit. Not all of you come up to this altar to distribute the gifts of God. But yet all of you possess this wonderful and magnificent gospel that Christ and the Spirit have given you. It might be leading a Bible study. Might be praying for others. It might be serving a meal. It might be cooking soup for a midweek service. It might be cleaning up afterwards. It might be singing. But in all these things, the gospel is richly proclaimed. Regardless of the way in which you do it, it is all for that one gospel. That one gospel that tells all people of the love of God and the redemption they have received. The redemption that we all know from the blood shed on the cross for us. And Lent is a great opportunity for you to start ministering this gospel to others. If you don't know where to begin, start where you already are. And I think it's important that we remember that this story connects all the way back to Christmas. These aren't separate things that just happen at their set time. Christmas is still to be celebrated to this day. Easter is to be celebrated every day, even in the midst of Lent, when we focus solely on the cross. Because it is in these historical events that we are saved. God did not just say that you are redeemed. God gave himself for you to buy you back from sin. And I think what's really important to remember is as you're called to minister this gospel, so often, at least from my mind, we immediately jump to non-Christians. But there are still plenty of Christians around us that need to hear this gospel as well. To know that they have been redeemed. If you are like me, your sins weigh you down and cause you to struggle and burden you. You need to hear this gospel. I need to hear it every day. Otherwise, it's just too depressing. But yet, it is in this that we minister the gospel to one another and to all those people that God has put around us. And so again, if you don't know where to start, start where you are. If you know how to cook, start cooking. If you've got a strong back, you can serve in many places. But you have been placed in a specific place, at a specific time, around a specific people. And God is calling you to minister to them the love and mercy of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.